الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي حسبك الله ومن اتبعك من المؤمنين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we intend discussing, inshaAllah, just a glimpse, a sketch of the life of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. It was 1,400 years ago when he was stabbed by the Persian Firouz Abu Lu'lu' on the 25th or the 26th of Dhul Hijjah. We are now in the end of Dhul Hijjah, and shortly the new year will commence and the new month of Muharram. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was stabbed on the 25th or 26th of Dhul Hijjah, and he passed away at the end of Dhul Hijjah, buried on the 1st of Muharram. To understand the caliber of this great personality, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر. If they had to be any Nabi after me, then it would have been Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. We know there is no Nabi that came after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no Nabi will come till the day of Qiyamah, because Rasulullah ﷺ was Khatamun Nabiyin, he was the seal of all prophets. But Rasulullah ﷺ, to explain to us the great and lofty position of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, and his deep knowledge of the Shariat, and the fact that he lived and he stood for truth and justice, he was a very merciful person, very kind and generous as well. He did not exploit his position as Amir, as the leader, in any way. So much so, when more countries were conquered in the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, therefore it is known as the golden era, or the golden epoch of Islam, where Islam, the territories of Islam, expanded far and wide. So much of wealth was brought into Medina. But Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was not affected by this wealth. He did not usurp this wealth. He was Amir al-Mu'mineen. He was a ruler. He could have taken a big share of this wealth, and he could have usurped his position as Amir al-Mu'mineen, but no. Ulama and Mu'arrikheen, historians, write that he lived an even more simpler life after all these conquests took place. To such an extent, to understand his simplicity, that imagine he enters Baytul Maqdis, now going to be conquered, and the keys are going to be handed over to Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala, and he's riding a mule, and he's got 17 patches on his clothes. 17 patches! His beloved daughter, Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she goes up to her father on one occasion, and she says, oh my beloved father, why don't you wear clothing which are more finer than what you're wearing now? Your clothing is very coarse. Why don't you wear finer clothing? Why don't you eat better quality food than you are eating presently? Allah Ta'ala has brought so much of spoils of war and booty and treasures of the kings of Rome and Persia. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala then addressed his daughter Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he poses the question. He says, explain to me the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be honest. How often was the stove or the fire kindled in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for food? She says, 2 months will go past consecutively and still there was no food in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the clothing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What type of bedding did he use? Then he says, there are 3 people traveling on a journey. فَمَضَىٰ إِثْنَانِ 2 of them have gone ahead, they proceeded. If this third person goes in an opposite direction, but he wishes to join them, will he ever reach them? She says, no. He says, well, I am the 3rd of the 3. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, I was their companion in this journey, in this world. They have preceded me, they have gone, they have proceeded towards the Akhirat. And I will not change the road and the way of life of these 2 before me. So, لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر. Rasulullah says, if there had to be a Nabi after me, it would be Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. His wit was remarkable. His intelligence. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, at this point I would mention that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, it is the unanimous opinion of the Sahaba and the Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was most superior to Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. From all the Sahaba, the first position is that of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. But since we are discussing Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, his virtues, his manaqib, his fadail, and the lessons that we learn from his beautiful way of life. So Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, it is mentioned in hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَ الْحَقَّ عَلَىٰ لِسَانِ عُمَرَ وَقَلْبِهِ. Allah has placed truth, haqq, on the tongue of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and in the heart of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. So when Rasulullah ﷺ would consult the Sahaba on various issues, various matters, he would take the opinion before passing a judgment, before making some decision. Rasulullah ﷺ would consult the Sahaba. Various opinions would be given. But so many times, so often they found that whatever Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala gave as his opinion, exactly like that Allah ta'ala then revealed the Quran. Allah sent down ayats that showed that whatever Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, that is exactly what Allah desires. Ulama write, this is called muwafaqat, where Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala's view and opinion coincided, or it conformed with exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had desired. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that in the ummahs of the past, there were people who were inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not nabis. Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam received revelation, wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there were many people who were pious, who were very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala puts in their heart the right option to choose in their lives. They were inspired, we call this ilham. Many walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get what you call ilham, a divine inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah says, if there is any person in my ummah, then undoubtedly it will be Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Again, to understand the closest he enjoyed, the close proximity to Rasulullah, the relationship to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala on one occasion When Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala sought permission to make Hajj, this was just before the farewell pilgrimage, he sought permission to make Umrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Ya Ukhay, la tansana fi du'aik. O my beloved brother, don't forget us in your du'as. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala to remember him in his du'as. And the word he used, Ya Ukhay, or Ya Akhi, O my beloved brother, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala used to say, that if I was given the entire world, wherever the sun shone its rays, if I was given all these parts of the world, or the entire world, whatever it contained, in lieu of just this one humble word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to me, Ya Ukhay, O my beloved brother, I would not give this world whatever it contains in lieu of this word. It is mentioned in the kitabs, that Rasulullah SAW had mentioned to him, O Umar, when you will be buried, and the angels will come to question you, every person will be questioned, Man Rabbuku, is your Rabb, who is your Lord? And the person has to answer, Rabbi Allah. He says, when the angels will come to you, and they will ask you, O Umar, O Ibn al-Khattab, Man Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? O Umar, you will reply, Rabbi Allah, wa Rabbukuma. My Rabb is Allah. Who is your Rabb? He will question the angels. They'll ask him, what is your deen? He'll say, my deen is Islam. What is your deen? They'll ask, who is this person? Referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is my Nabi. Who is your Nabi? They will actually exclaim, have we been sent to this person? Or has he been sent to us to question us? Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was among the Sahaba, and we know all the Sahaba were guaranteed Jannat radiallahu anhum wa radu an. But there were many occasions where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned specifically about certain Sahaba that they will be gain entry into Jannah. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala is amongst those. When he is buried or is about to be buried, we know the incident of Abu Lu'lu Fayroz, who was the slave of Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala. It's a very long story. Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala sought permission from Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala that I've got this slave. He's a disbeliever. But if you'll allow him to come into Medina because he has many skills and we can use his skills to benefit the Muslims, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala agreed. Some time goes by and this slave comes to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, who was full of justice, and he complained about Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala that he is not giving me the amount that I deserve. In other words, he's not paying me the amount I deserve. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala investigated the matter, asked him, what are your skills, what are you doing, what are you being paid? He says, this is fine. You are being paid a fair price. This caused some resentment in the heart of Abu Lu'lu Fayroz, who was from Persia. He was a Persian slave. And this anger settled in his heart. He was displeased with this verdict of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And therefore he sought revenge. When Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala is performing salah in his fajr, salah is extremely dark in the masjid. They did not have lights like how we have. And whilst he's performing salah, this slave had hid in one corner and he had a dagger with two edges, extremely sharp, and he had put some poison on it. And he breaks through the safs and he stabs Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala from the back. Pierces him. And this dagger goes through his body, penetrates through his stomach. And he turns around, this slave. And he tries to escape. And in the rush, he stabs another 11 Sahaba, 9 of whom also pass away. until finally he kills himself. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala is extremely ill. These are the last few days, as I mentioned, 25th or 26th Dhul Hijjah. Few days are left. And anything that he is given by the doctors to drink, milk or any type of food, it comes out of his stomach. His stomach is bleeding. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu was a giant. He was extremely brave and courageous. As he is there on his deathbed, Sahaba would come to visit him. Among the Sahaba, there were those who praised him. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would say, no, no, no. All I desire, somebody would say, you conquered this country, you did this for Islam, and you did that for Islam. You were always with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You assisted the widows, the orphan, the poor, the needy. And you were the first to do this for Islam, etc. And Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu say, all I wish is that my good deeds must just be able to wipe out my bad deeds. There is a youngster who comes there. Praises Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab gives the same answer. He's not affected by the praise of any person. And as this youngster is leaving, now look at this condition. He is stabbed. These are his last few moments in this world. He is in pain. But when it comes to Sharia, to Islam, to Deen, to the Sunnah of Rasulullah, the Sahaba's gaze never went away. They were pillars, they were mountains of steadfastness. He observes that this youngster's trousers is below his ankles. He calls him with a lot of politeness and kindness, Ya Bunay, come here my son. Irfa' izarak. You can check it up in the kitabs. Irfa' izarak. Lift your pants above your ankles. فَإِنَّهُ أَنْقَى لِثَوْبِ. It'll keep your garments more clean, otherwise some najasat will come onto your pants. وَأَتْقَى لِرَبِّكَ. And it will gain, give you more piety to Allah subhanahu, more closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point is, even in this state, this condition, if he sees something which is not correct, very politely, he addressed the issue. And he made islah of the matter. Nonetheless, when he passes away, or just before passing away, he calls his son Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He says, then go to Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our mother. In some narration, it is mentioned like this, that tell her Amirul Mu'mineen has given salam. And he has expressed his desire to be buried in the same room of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the house of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried, where he had passed away. That is the house of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And after him, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha is also buried next to him in the same home. And Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala continued living there. But Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala expresses this desire. She had a desire that when she'll pass away, she'll be buried there also, with next to her beloved husband, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and her father, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. So she says, if Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, Amir al-Mu'mineen, desires this, then I will give him preference over the space which I desired for myself. No problem, he can have it. But look at Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. His son comes back with this good news. What does he say? He says, oh my son, when I pass away, go again to Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this time you make salam and convey my salam to her, and don't say Amirul Mu'mineen is asking, because then I will no longer be the leader of the believers. Say, Umar, the son of Khattab, has expressed his desire that he must be buried there. This is justice. This is piety. He did not usurp his position. Look how far the minds went. So that Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is not coerced in any way. She's not forced. Perhaps when Sayyidina Umar was Amirul Mu'mineen, she may have felt some type of force upon her. And she could not go against his orders and his wishes. Therefore she gave consent. But now it's a different matter. He's no longer Amir al-Mu'mineen. He has left this world. Would you still give him permission? She says, yes indeed. So as they are burying him, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says, that I felt somebody behind me, and looking at Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, praising him, and saying, I always had this hope and desire, that, oh Umar, you must get this position and place next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu as your place of dafan and burial. Why? I should always hear our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Kuntu ana wa Abu Bakrin wa Umar. I, referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar. Dakhaltu ana wa Abu Bakrin wa Umar. Kharajtu ana wa Abu Bakrin wa Umar. I entered Abu Bakr and Umar. I came out Abu Bakr and Umar. I did this Abu Bakr and Umar. I did that Abu Bakr and Umar. All the time Rasul took the name with himself Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum. Now who was this person who mentioned this hadith? Who praised Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and other than Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He loved Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala loved Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He loved the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loved the Ahl Bayt. There's an incident of his son Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala coming to him. And before Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala comes to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala comes first. And he says, Amir al-Mu'mineen, some monies have come into Baytul Mal, and I'm asking you to give me some stipend from there. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu gives him 1,000 dirhams. Then his brother Hussein comes radiallahu ta'ala. He youngsters, young children. Amir al-Mu'mineen, same story. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu gives him 1,000 dirhams as well. And then, they followed by the son of Umar radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who's also very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's elder than Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhuma. He requests from his father the same thing. So his father gives him only 500 dirhams instead of 1,000. He says, oh my beloved father, I fight in the battles and the expeditions that come out. Whereas these two youngsters, yadrujani fi sikakil Madina, they just play around, roam around the gullies of Madina. I deserve more, or at least equal to them. Now what was the response of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala? There are people who live in this era, who are in great error and misguidance, who talk ill of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. They curse, they swear, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, and so many other Sahaba, the wives of Sahaba. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, as I mentioned, he loved the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gives the grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more money than his own son. And what does he tell his son? Oh my son, if you demand same like the two grandchildren of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then bring to me a father like their father. Others bring to me a father like Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Bring to me a mother like their mother, Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala. Bring to me a nana like their nana, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bring to me a grandmother like their grandmother, Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala. Bring to me an uncle like their uncle, a maternal uncle, Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enumerated like this. And he said, bring to me a family like what these children have. One Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala is seated on the minbar of Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, that moment is still young, little child. He comes there, he tells Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, inzil al minbari abi. descend, come down from the mimbar, from the pulpit of my grandfather, my nana. It's his mimbar. You come down. Go to your father's mimbar. Little child. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, my father, he's got no mimbar. That's why I'm sitting here. In any case, he puts little Hussein radiallahu anhu on his lap. Hussein radiallahu anhu was playing with some pebbles. Umar radiallahu anhu showed love to him and then tells him, come and visit me one of the evenings. Come to my place. But after a few days, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu goes to visit Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. But when he goes there, he sees Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu busy with Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And suddenly he sees Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu, going and about to enter. He seeks permission to enter. His father says no. So he returns. He does not enter. Hussein radiallahu anhu watched this. He thought, if Abdullah ibn Umar, son of Umar, cannot enter, where can I enter? So he also returned. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu asks him after some time, what happened? I told you to visit me, you did not come. He says, no, I came. And this is what I saw. That if your son Umar, ibn Umar, Abdullah, does not get permission, where will I get permission? He says, Allah's qasam, you have more right. Anta ahakku bil izni min Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. You've got more right to enter my home than my own son Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Normally, the image that is portrayed, and of course, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was very brave, very strong. When he came to upholding the laws of Shariat, that he did not spare, he did not leave anything aside, but that he would rectify it. He would uphold the Shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other side, we find Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was so full of mercy. This is a beautiful incident. Time is already exhausted. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, when he comes from Sham, Syria, he tells the Sahaba, you proceed, you go to the masjid, go to your homes. And he decides to go and patrol the outskirts or the end of the city of Madinah Munawwara. And as he proceeds, he sees a tent and he goes closer. It's an old lady sitting there. They make salam, wa alaikum as-salam. And the very question, first question she asks, not knowing who this is, she says, tell me about Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen, where is he nowadays? He says, well, he was gone to Syria, he just returned. And she gives the following statement, she says, لا جزاه الله عني خيرا. May Allah Ta'ala not reward him for my behalf. He says, Wayak, what's the matter? Why are you saying such a thing? She says, since he has become Amir, he hasn't even given me one penny. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala does not disclose who he is. He says, but, oh mother, how do you expect Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala to know about your whereabouts? You're living so far away, how must he know about your condition? She says, oh my son, if the man has become Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's a governor, he's a leader, and he does not know the Mashriq and Maghrib of his town, he does not know the whereabouts, he does not know the condition of the people in his town, he does not patrol and go far and wide to see every person's condition, how can he be Amir al-Mu'mineen then? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu began to sob. He tells himself, oh Umar, what have you done? Then he pleads to this old lady, not telling her who he is. Please, whatever zulm Umar has done so far to you, he was ignorant, he made a mistake, he caused you some pain. Please, take from me some money in lieu of that pain and that oppression that he has caused you, so that I don't see him burning in Jahannam on the day of Qiyamah because of the zulm that he has done upon you. Let us think, kings today, governors, presidents, do they have this type of compassion? Leave the presidents of the world. Do we have that compassion in our own homes, in our own factories, in our own business places, in our own madrasas, in our own schools, our own colleges? So she says, are you joking? Are you mocking me? What are you talking about? He says, no, I'm pleased. I want you to accept something in lieu of the oppression Umar has meted out to you. She says, okay, I will settle down for 25 dinars, 25 pieces of gold coins. Umar immediately takes out 25 dinars and he gives it to her. Just at that moment, we find that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu come. And they say, Assalamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. They greet him with, Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen. When she hears this, she becomes shocked, ashamed. She puts her head down. She says, I use this type of language to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Please forgive me. I did not know you were Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, Oh my mother, do not worry about that. But he takes out a note and he writes that Umar ibn Khattab had paid this woman for the so-called oppression he had done to her by not giving her some allowance since he became Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he has given her 25 dinars. And Ali and Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma have borne witness to this. And they tell Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, take this note. If I pass away before you, I want you to put this note into my coffin. So on the day of Qiyamah, she does not come and say that Umar ibn Khattab has done zulam to me. My respected brothers and elders, there are so many other incidents really. Time has expired. I'll just terminate with just one more. One more incident, inshallah. So that we go back home and we read the books of the biographies of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. They were shining stars that brightened the whole universe. Do you know when Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab passed away? Everything in Medina became extremely dark. Darkness pervaded Medina. To such an extent, a little child asked the mother, Ya Ummah, Aqamat al-Qiyamah? Has Qiyamah commenced? She says, No. Lakin mata Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. But it's the demise of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. He was patrolling Medina when he sees a woman. Or he was nearby and he hears the cry of a child. And he goes there, tells the woman, what's wrong? Why is the child crying? She says, no. Put him off to sleep or try to quieten him. After some time, again the child is crying. Several times this happens. Finally, towards the latter part of the night, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu cannot bear the crying of this child. So she says, he goes to her, what is wrong with you? Why are you making this? Why is this child crying? She says, oh son, oh Abdullah, oh servant of Allah, you have disturbed us so many times. What must I do? When Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar has not fixed any stipend for children who are not yet weaned off, I'm trying to wean off this child. Until this child is not weaned off and stop drinking my milk, Umar ibn Khattab, Amir al-Mu'mineen, will not give any money for a child of this age. So I'm trying to wean off this child quickly so that I get some allowance for this child. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, immediately he goes to Baytul Mal. He brings food and he brings some allowance for this child. And then he goes to perform Fajr Salat. Sahaba say, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was such a strong person. Ulama say, Kana Islamuhu Fathan. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala accepted Islam, what a beautiful story. Inshallah, if Allah gives us tawfiq again, he will explain more about Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. But when he accepted Islam, it was a victory for the Muslims. His hijrat was assistance for the Muslims. And his governorship, when he was a ruler, then it was rahmat for the Muslims. So Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, he's performing salat. Sahaba take a qasam. They could not even hear the voice of the recitation of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala tilawat in salat because he was sobbing so much. He was crying so much. He was overwhelmed with this fear of the akhirat. What would be his condition? These were the giants of Islam. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Or bring some of the examples in our life. The simplicity. How they uphold the shariat. The justice. The truth that they always stood for. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.